You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. I thank you guys for joining us here today on this Friday. Thank God it is Friday. Greetings from Pastor Darren Solana as well. He's my associate pastor here at Island, and he is going to be the man who will be bringing you the word here today, coming up in a moment. This will be part two of his sermon, Spiritual Supply. We think of the verse, "My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's his launching point for this sermon. This started yesterday. This will wrap up here today. I invite you guys to Island Community Church this weekend. My sermon is entitled, "Peter Has the Keys." We're in Acts chapters 9 and 10 and Matthew chapter 16, where the Lord Jesus Christ gave Peter himself the keys. And this is how and why Peter's been doing the things that he's been doing. He knows people's sins. He knows what's in people's hearts. He knows what people are thinking. He tells people, "Hey, here come the feet of those that buried your husband. Now they're going to haul you out of here." And people would die here today. We're going to see Peter do just what his Lord did, and that is walk into a room, run everybody out, and then take a little girl by the hand and say, "Arise," because Jesus gave the keys to Peter. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. We would love to see you. Our service starts at 10:35. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. If you are looking for a new church home, I invite you to attend Island Community Church. You'll be greeted warmly by this excellent church family here. Okay, here we go. This is part two of this message now, Spiritual Supply.
And I want to look at what's been supplied. We've looked at the request at 4:6. Now let's look at what is supplied. And I'll go back and read the two together. I'll start at 4:6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Here comes the supply. Pay close attention to this. You've got the request, right? Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Here comes the supply at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let me ask you a question. Is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, is that material or spiritual? Spiritual, right? Right. Now, I hope you can start to see where I'm going with this, right? Let's move to Philippians 4:19, "And my God," see, they're connected. It's the reason I'm using them together, because they're connected. "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now look at the word says, what the word says at 4:19. Whose riches are they? God's, right? And where are his riches located? Where? in glory, right? That's where it says. And stay with me. And how do we access his riches that are located in glory? By Christ Jesus. Exactly. God the Father has a storehouse in glory. And we have access to that storehouse by and through faith in Christ. He paid our membership fee. And with that being said, you mean to tell me that you would go into the storehouse and ask for SpaghettiOs and rent money? If you do or if you have, you've missed it. You're carnal. And we've all done it. I pray for God's mercy on us all. We've placed our carnal material needs and desires above our spiritual needs and desires. We've got the cart before the horse. And the cart don't pull the horse. The horse pulls the cart. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to show you something. Well, I want to let the Word show you. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 4. Because I want to show you the storehouse and what's in it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, but God who is rich in... What's he rich in?
Mercy.
Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 4, Ephesians 2, 4, tells us exactly what is in his storehouse and what he is rich in. Mercy. Verse 7 says, grace is there. He's rich in grace. He's rich in kindness. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4 says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. In just about every one of Paul's epistles to the church, he prays for the brethren without ceasing. And then he tells us exactly what he prays for. He's our example. It's not guesswork on this, guys. He tells us exactly what he prays. If you want to know how Paul prayed, read it. He prays that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is that material or spiritual? You know the answer, right? Okay, so let me ask you a question. What are you praying on? What are you praying for? Well, that's going to depend on what you're looking at, right? Right? You'll be praying at what you're looking at. If you're looking at your physical, you're going to pray physical. If you're looking at your spiritual need, you're going to pray spiritual. Well, I'm telling you what's in the storehouse. And it's not SpaghettiOs. You're not going to find Chef Boyardee there. Now, guys, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't pray for things like that. What I'm saying is first comes first. Take care of your spiritual needs and your spiritual supply first, and God will take care of the rest. Quit worrying about it. It's all going to depend on what you're looking at. Now, let me read this to you. This is Ephesians 1:15. Here you can see exactly what Paul prays for the other believers, for the other churches. He prays for all of them. Listen to his prayer. He says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you." This is supplication, right? This is supply. He's going to tell you that I'm praying that God may give to you this. And then he tells you, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. There is not one mention in that prayer about their material or physical need. It's the Apostle Paul that prays. What better example, right? It's not one mention about, "And Lord, I pray that you'd send them some rent money and a can of SpaghettiOs." James 4:2 says, "You do not have," says, "yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." We're asking for the wrong thing because we're looking at the wrong thing. We're going to the storehouse of God and asking him to fill up the cart and not the horse. The horse pulls the cart. And it doesn't matter what's in the cart if your horse can't pull it. The horse pulls the cart. But yet we go into the storehouse with the cart and say, "Fill it up." Not one mention about the horse. It's carnal. Doesn't matter what's in the cart if the horse can't pull it. 2 Peter 1:5 through 10. This is speaking of supply. He says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supply your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Let me ask you this question. When you go into the storehouse, when you go in prayer, do you ask for an increase in faith? Do you ask for an increase in virtue? How about knowledge? How about wisdom? You see what I'm getting at? Do you ask for anything for the horse? Or do you just ask for the cart? Do you ask for wisdom? Do you ask for perseverance? Do you ask for long suffering? Do you ask for kindness? Do you ask for affection? Do you ask for love? Do you ask for hope? Do you ask for peace? How about self-control or discernment or understanding? This is what's in the storehouse. And God is rich in it, and He wants to give it to you. And I guarantee when you ask for that, the answer is yes and amen. Because that's what He's concerned with. Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened." He's not talking about SpaghettiOs and rent money. Paul prayed for an increase in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. He didn't pray for a new car. He didn't pray, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?" I do see one other time. I see another instance in the New Testament where Paul had prayed something else. We all remember what it is, right? It's thorn in the flesh, right? We don't know. Much speculation about what this thorn in the flesh it is. Maybe it's an actual thorn in his flesh. I don't know. He says it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. I don't know. He said he prayed 3 times for this thing to be removed. And the answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you." See, he didn't remove it. He didn't remove the thorn. He left this thorn. He increased grace. And you say, "Well, grace is sufficient for you for what?" What is grace sufficient? For everything. For everything, grace is sufficient. But do you leave it out of your prayer? Should be the first thing we start with, right? When we go in prayer, should be the first thing that we start with. Lord, give us grace. He's rich in it. It's what's in the storehouse. Grace was increased. God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, sufficient for everything." But we leave that prayer out. It says if we feed our carnal man and we let our spirit man starve to death. Why do we do that? Well, that's because what we're looking at. Because our focus is on our carnal man, when our focus is supposed to be on the spirit man. First, feed the horse first. Then don't worry about the cart. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things," these are all these secondaries, "shall be added unto you." But don't put the cart ahead of the horse. God knows what you have need of. He takes care of them birds out there in that tree. Don't you think he's going to take? How much more are you than some bird or some squirrel, whatever? Don't they have enough to eat? Do you see them going hungry? Only thing I see them do is having a good time out there every morning, scurrying around the trees. It's a lesson to be learned in it. Philippians 4:17, in between that, Paul said, not that I seek the gift. See, that's the material supply. Paul didn't have any financial resources when he was over here. He had none of that. He says, I'm not seeking the gift. That's a physical material supply. He says, I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. And that's a spiritual supply. Philippians 4:11 through 13, he says, not that I'm speaking of being in need physically, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Did you hear what he said? How can you make that statement? You have learned, no matter what physical circumstance or material circumstance or position that you're in, you have learned to be content. How do you do that? Yeah, feed that spirit, man. That's putting on the whole armor of God. That's what's going on out there in the wilderness. That's what Jesus was doing. Says, I know, Paul, at verse 12, Paul says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and in need. And then he tells you what the secret is. He says, I've learned the secret. It's not a secret, though, because I'm going to tell you what the secret is. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Is that physical or spiritual? We must be supplied with the spiritual resources that God gives first. And then we'll be content no matter what material or physical shape we're in. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God is the source of both. But don't put the cart before the horse. Now, I'll tell you a secret, too. And then I'll start to wrap this up. I say it's a secret, but it's not. Because I want the whole world to know. The secret is, Jesus is the storehouse. Everything that you want and need is in him. Have you asked? Have you asked in your prayer, Lord, I just want more of you? John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. For from him flow rivers of living water. John 6:57 through 58, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Makes you look at communion a little bit different, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Jesus is the storehouse. Psalm 91 says, he is my refuge my fortress, my dwelling place, my deliverer, my shield and buckler. All that we want and need is found in Christ. He is our storehouse and our source of all things. So what are you looking at? It seems like every time I preach, I end up singing this song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his mercy and grace.
Oh, soul, are you weary?
Don't worry. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, for those where this is being broadcast to, for those of you that don't know Jesus, I want to give you a chance to respond. As a matter of fact, for those of you that do know Jesus, I want to give you a chance to respond. Right where you are, every eye is closed, every head bowed. Let me lead you in prayer. And church, I'm going to say that this prayer is as much for me as it is for anybody else. Lord Jesus, your word says in Revelation 22:19, your word says, let the one who is thirsty come. Lord, we come to you and we ask for mercy and grace, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness for our sin and to wash us and cleanse us in your precious blood and clothe us in your righteousness. We lay all other things at your feet and say, Jesus, we just want you and you alone. Everything else is second place to you, Lord. You are all we need, and you are more than enough. We want more of you, Lord, and what is in your storehouse in glory. Lord, we ask for grace. We ask for mercy, long-suffering, patience, perseverance, peace, wisdom, understanding, knowledge of you, Lord. Lord, that you would take our worry and anxiety and replace it with faith and an increase in faith in you, Lord, and your promises. We ask for hope, Lord. And Lord, we ask for love. Lord, that we would learn to love like you do. Jesus, help us and teach us to love. And in your name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.